Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Folks, one of the favorite segments of my week is the NOLA Coalition segment. You've heard me say this probably 100 times now. The difference makers in our community, down in the trenches, doing a lot of the hard work that needs to be done. But there's a huge return on the investment. And the folks that are just really paying attention to these challenges that, you know, the city, and this is not a knock on the city, but this is anywhere. They don't have the assets or resources to deliver a lot of these services. We rely on the not-for-profit community to backfill and to do so. And today's no different. Kay Usen, Executive Director of Mission Rebirth, joins us. Kay, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. This is kind of an appropriate conversation this morning in light of a lot of what's happening in the city right now. Kay, tell us about the mission of Mission Rebirth.
So our mission basically is I wanted to provide supportive services to our reentry, which reentry could just be justice involved, where maybe you got in trouble for a DUI, had probation, or it could be those that did a lot of time in incarceration, and then our vulnerable communities. A lot of the homeless population also have some type of justice involvement as well. So I wanted to provide resources as a one-stop shop type of thing to get them to self-sufficiency. I kind of felt like the dots were not connecting with the resources they needed in order to be successful and reduce recidivism.
The truth be told, there are a lot of resources out there, but sometimes they're difficult to get to without a gatekeeper, right?
The biggest things, a lot of times they don't know how to advocate for themselves, or they're not educated as far as how programs work, or the wait times on some of the programs, or just, you know, just how it goes all together. A lot of times their caseworkers that they've had in the past have, like, maybe lost trust with them, or they just don't understand the processes. So we kind of help them with navigating through the processes while educating them for future. And we're lifelong case managers for them, so we don't discharge them after we do whatever service they initially come in for.
With those that are justice involved, and I actually, when I was sheriff, supported a number of reentry programs because I thought that assimilation process, especially those that had served a lot of time, was a difficult period of time. And what you did not want was individuals succumbing to the temptations that put them there in the first place, that you wanted them to experience the high of their family, the high of their children, the high of their Lord, if that's a path that they're going to walk on. What do you see as the biggest challenges today for your folks that are coming out that are justice involved?
There's two big challenges that I see. The first one, again, is they're not educated on how it works. A lot of times they, you know, there's so many, I want to say rumors, that, you know, oh, when you get out, you're going to get a stimulus check, or, oh, when you get out, you can get Social Security for PTSD. Oh, when you get out, they got a housing program where you're going to go straight to housing upon coming home. And so, or even with food stamps, you know, you're going to get out and you're going to get emergency food stamps because you were incarcerated. So I think the expectation is they're just going to hit the ground running. And they're not educated as far as what the barriers really look like or how the programs really work. So I think that is the first disconnect. The second one, I think, is access to resources. A lot of the nonprofits agencies, they either are understaffed due to some of the funding not covering operational expenses for staffing, or there's not a lot of program budget money out there that's allotted to, like, smaller nonprofits to help with like bus passes or work uniforms or, you know, just the small things that they may need just to get them started. So I feel like those are the two biggest disconnects or hurdles that they run into initially.
I found that a lot of the folks that we ended up working with, they especially those that had served a significant amount of time, that they really wanted to assimilate, but the difficulties, as you said, of connecting the dots, not having transportation, getting an ID, a driver's license, that was a challenge. There were a lot of different things that were challenges for them, especially those that didn't go into a step-down facility on their way out. They didn't have the benefit of that. We relied, and I actually supported a number of the not-for-profits, but we relied on the not-for-profits to do so because there really wasn't a lot of state or local agencies that provided any of this. And what kind of caught my eye with your program is that usually the case management process goes in snippets of time, right? Once you achieve certain things, it kind of goes away. But connecting the dots and the challenge to do so as you assimilate back into society doesn't go away, that challenge, right?
Correct. So we have a case management system here that I like to utilize. So when they come in, I do like a 5-10 minute assessment with them, no matter what service they come in for. So if they come in here for, say, food stamps, I do an assessment and I might find that you need shelter, you need housing, you don't have an ID, you're looking for work, and you only came in here for that one thing and I'm able to assist you with 7 things. So, you know, a lot of times they don't know what all they need because they may not have a support system or, like you said, good case management from whoever they were with previously. So that is a good thing to have. And if they don't know today, you know, they, like I said, as a lifelong case manager, they can call me 3 months from now and just say, hey, do you help with this? And we're able to still assist them. I think sometimes what may be the difference is a lot of agencies work off grant funding where it's a certain budget that you have to go by that only covers X, Y, Z. A lot of ours have been, you know, contractual type things or donations. So we're able to kind of be a little flexible with what I'm able to assist with depending on our funding without being so restricted.
The other thing that's interesting, and as you go through the employment process, a lot of vital documents about you, your Social Security card, your birth certificate, maybe you finished high school diploma, many have, their GED. They have to provide evidence of all of that. They don't have it anymore. They don't know where it is. Their families have moved away. Their stuff got thrown away. And then just going about getting all of that, it can be a huge hurdle as well.
Correct. So we do make sure to get that because I worked for Unity for a couple years doing the housing process for permanent housing. And I, you know, partner with a lot of other agencies to kind of see what their requirements are for the funding they have for housing and other supportive services that they may can partner to provide for us. And so we do provide help to get their IDs, birth certificates, and have it sent here. Because keep in mind, that population a lot of times don't even have a good address to mail things to for their vital documents. So we do, like, we let them mail it here. We do IDs every Wednesday. I meet them at the DMV to pay for their IDs, and then we kind of assist them with whatever housing paperwork or job application paperwork. Like I said, we really walk them through every step while teaching them and not enabling them at the same time.
And the ultimate goal with the justice-involved individuals is that so they don't recidivate, right, and they become self-sufficient.
Correct.
And can provide for themselves. I mean, I'm assuming, you tell me, that's your ultimate goal, right?
Yeah, that is definitely the ultimate goal. And what started me on the path of adding so many services, because when I first started, I literally was only doing like food stamp applications and resumes and that kind of thing. Then we had Hurricane Ida happen where it became more housing and shelter. And then when I worked for Unity during the COVID initiative, I noticed, you know, you see a lot of drug addiction to cover the mental health stuff. And you learn about, you know, you can't go to a shelter without a COVID test, but there was no COVID testing sites outside of the shelter. So how are they going to get there? Or if you don't have a phone with a GPS, how do you know where to go? So I started to, that's when I first started to realize the dots don't connect. And so I feel like if you can't get food stamps and you have to eat, what are you going to do to get?
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country. And the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Money. You know, even on a basic level, you know, if you can't pay your fines, you know, those that, you know, do crime or sell drugs, like, why would they not go to that to pay their fines or to have get a hotel for the night instead of sleeping on the streets? Or, you know, it could be the smallest reason as far as them going back.
Yeah, and it could be just one little nuance that creates this house that has the house of cards come tumbling down, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and if you can accommodate that, it makes all the difference in the world. At least that's been my experience in working with that population. Kay Houston, thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck to you. If somebody wants to volunteer, help out, inquire, they may have some interest in your program, how would they contact you?
So everything you can do on our website is Mission Rebirth, MissionRebirth.com. You can make appointments there. You can send me an email for volunteer work there. You can donate there. Everything is there. Also, our Instagram is mission.rebirth or at mission.rebirth. Facebook, Mission Rebirth as well. So, yes, thank you so much for interviewing me today and allowing me to join you guys. And I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Kay Houston, for all that you do. We appreciate you as well. Have a great week. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, folks, when we come back after the break, we will visit with Liz Murrell, the Louisiana Attorney General, and we'll be talking about this jail maintenance worker case. It looks like her office had a role in putting that case together, and we'll find out more when we return. Stay with us.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America. We'll be right back.